Well, amen. Let's go in our Bibles to Mark chapter 5 tonight. Mark chapter 5. I always get the most nervous when I'm preaching here. Make sure the teens all stay awake. And air conditioning just kicked on. You're in a comfy seat. It's past your manager clothes because the sun's shining in them. I'm not going to believe it. Amen. No, let's pay attention. I'm not going to preach long tonight. It's one of those sermons that I don't like hearing because I can't take good notes because I don't really have any points. But it'll fit right in with Pastor Russo's messages. I've tried to take notes the last couple of messages, and yeah, you got to need one. Here's the thing. But we're going to read the story here in Mark chapter 5. We're going to read a big chunk of the chapter, so please follow along. Just don't tune it out. We'll start in verse number 22. "And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet." He falls at whose feet? Jesus' feet. Amen. "And besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him." Amen. What a blessing. Jesus heard his need and went with him. "And much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, she came into the press behind and touched his garment." So right now we have three people in this story. We have Jesus Christ. We have, who's the other one? See? Jairus. And who else do we have? Did I just say C? I think I said C. And we have the woman, yes. Pardon if I slip in a little Spanish tonight. Amen. And we have the woman. And verse 28, "For she said, If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, Who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue," who's that? Jairus, yes. "Be not afraid, only believe. And he suffered no man to follow him, save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeth the tumult, and them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he saith unto them, Why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. And when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel, and them that were with him, and entereth in where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand, and said unto her, Talitha kumi, which is being interpreted, Damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years. And they were astonished with a great astonishment. And he charged them straitly that no man should know it, and command that something should be given her to eat." So here in this chapter, we see two different families. The one lady, we don't know if she's married, we don't know if she had any kids, but we see the lady with the issue of blood. And she has a need. She spent the last how many years? 12 years. Fighting against this issue, fighting against this sickness, spending all that she had, and finally coming to Jesus for help. We see the other family, the family of Jairus, and his daughter is ill at the point of death. And one day, these two families, their paths kind of cross. Jairus goes to find Jesus. You hear Jesus is in town. He goes to get him and begs him to come to his house to heal his daughter. As Jesus is in walking with him, I was going to say in camino, is walking with him to go to the house, he runs into the lady who's just part of the great multitude that's following Jesus. And she has enough faith to know, if I can just touch his garment, that's enough for me. I mean, we all have, this is the message, but we all have different levels of faith when we come to Jesus. Some believe Jesus needed to be there and Jesus needed to touch. This lady thought, if I can just touch his clothes, that's enough. Others that Jesus said he'd not seen so great in faith just needed him to say it. And that was good enough for them. But praise the Lord that Jesus honored this woman. She was honest with him. And Jesus said her faith had made thee whole. So in verse number 25, I want to read verse 25 again. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood, how many years? 12 years. Verse number 43. I'm sorry, 42. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years. 12 years. So we see two different families that have been fighting, living different lives, let's say. You can imagine maybe this woman, we don't know if it's the same day, sometime in that year, she goes to the doctor, she's not feeling quite right, and she gets some bad news. Maybe that day the doctor thought, she thought, well, we're just in the start of a process. No, I've seen this before, we can take care of this. A couple weeks, she'll be good to go. And she left the doctor's office feeling okay, feeling like, okay, we can get over this. At that same year, Jairus is hearing from the doctor, congratulations, it's a girl. And he's got a new child in his house. And as time goes on, now you picture the first birthday parties where the parents are like monsters and the kid doesn't know what's going on. But the parents are fighting to make sure their kid has the perfect first birthday party or second birthday party, which the kid will never remember. But for the parents, it's the most important thing that's ever happened, especially if it's the first child. The most important thing that's ever happened in their lives. They're all smiles. They're all having fun. They got the pinata out in the yard. And they're having a blast. And the woman is in her second year of fighting this disease. And she's tried a couple treatments. She's gone to a couple doctors. And she's just getting led along and nothing's changing. You know, time goes by and maybe it's the fifth, sixth, seventh year, and the daughter's growing up. She's helping around the house. You know, mom's teaching her how to make bread and do all those things. And they're enjoying each other's company. And the lady, that's another 2-3 years. And maybe she's about ready to give up. She knows her funds are running out. She's tried everything. She's gone to different cities, tried different doctors. And we don't know exactly what their lives were like, but we see two different ways of life here. I imagine that Jairus had a blessed time. His family was full of joy. They had happiness. They had the new child in the house. And they were living life. They were having fun. They were enjoying things. And then for that same 12 years, another lady spent every day suffering. Without hope. With no joy. Each of us have different lives. And I look at my life and there's a song the Clark family sings I love listening to a lot about how I've been blessed and about how, you know, I don't feel like I haven't suffered as much as other people. That's not to say my life's been perfect. There's always hurt. There's always suffering in people's lives. But when you look at others, it seems like some people are just constantly fighting and struggling. We just prayed tonight. There was like four names who lost somebody in this last week. There's some people who you talk to them and it seems like they're always struggling financially. They're always losing a job. There's other people that are always, they seem like they're in and out of the hospital constantly. There's some people that seem just like, man, it's a rough year. This happened, you lost your job, this loved one died, you got bad news from the doctor, the house is breaking down, your car's in the shop. And you feel for those people. But I don't know how your life is. Sometimes it's not your whole life. It's just a part of your life. That can be a time of great blessing, a time of joy. You can say, I'm living on the mountaintop. And there's other times where it seems like I've been in a valley and I can't find the end of this thing. And it's just day after day, week after week, sometimes year after year. And I don't have the joy. I don't see the help I need. There's no hope. Jairus came to Jesus in a moment of emergency. He came to him and he needed help right now. Jesus, my daughter's about to die. I need you now. And in fact, physically speaking, he was too late, because his daughter died in the way. The woman, she had a different situation. She had spent year after year. The Bible tells us that she had spent all. She had spent all. It says, where's that verse? In verse number 26. And had suffered many things of many physicians. So the people that are supposed to be helping her actually caused more suffering. And spent all that she had and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. Talk about someone who has no hope, who has no joy, who has no reason to get up. I got to do this all again tomorrow. For 12 years. I don't know how many years it was till she finally thought, maybe there's nothing else for me. But year after year after year, she suffered. She spent all she had. I imagine that doesn't just apply to her money. I'm sure she was emotionally spent. She was physically spent. She was financially spent. She had nothing left. Jairus had a blessed life, except he had a need. He had an emergency. And both of them needed the same answer. Whether it was for 12 years of no hope, or it was, I've had a blessed life, but right now, both of them needed Jesus Christ. Both of them needed the salvation of the Lord. Both these roads led to the only true answer. What is the only true answer? Jesus Christ. When we go through our prayer list tonight, what does Mrs. Reynolds need? She needs the great physician. Brother Rodell, what do you need? You need the wisdom of the Lord, amen? The all-knowing. What does Patricia need? She needs the Lord to work in her life. Some of us have little needs, car broken down. Sometimes we need the great provider to give us a little extra, amen, to cover the bills. But we all need the Lord in our lives. Acts 4:12 says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. We make a great mistake when we first look outside of Christ for our answer. We live in a different day. This lady didn't have Jesus till this moment. And she knew, this is my chance. Jesus is close enough, I can get to Him. I'm going to get to Him. But sadly, so many of us, it could be day one of this lady's 12-year journey, and we'll go to the doctor first to spend all. And we have Jesus already there. Jesus is already in town. Jesus is already waiting to hear from us, but would rather, let me try my thing first. Now, I'm not saying that you shouldn't go to a doctor. I know there's some churches that practice that. Maybe I just don't have enough faith, but I believe that God gave us wisdom, the desire to learn. He gave us doctors. I believe medicine is part of God's plan, and you should seek those things. Amen? If you got enough faith that you can pray away your disease, go for it. Amen? I don't. I'm going to pray, and I'm going to do what I can. Amen? And I believe that's God's plan. Say, I never have money. Well, work harder, get more training, and pray and ask God to help you. I don't know what to do. Well, try to learn some more. Ask counsel, and ask God to help you. But so often we forget that part that we know we've learned since Sunday school. Pray first. We got something up on the banner here. I haven't heard any messages about it yet. I just got here. 1 Thessalonians 3:10. What does it say up there in the banner? Pray exceedingly. The answer is Christ. The answer to what we need is Jesus Christ. How do we get a hold of Jesus Christ? We pray. We pray. Let's go to one verse and we'll end tonight. Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. I don't know where you are. If you're in a mountaintop, everything's going well in your life, and you just thank God for His blessings. I don't know if you're in year 12 and you've been struggling for year after year. You've been praying. All I can tell you is to keep praying. Amen? Keep praying. This woman spent 12 years, but one day She got the help she needed from the Lord. Jairus, he got his answer right away. I don't get to determine when we get the answer from the Lord. I'm sure we all hope, man, I want to pray and open my eyes and there's the answer. But the Lord doesn't work according to our time, our schedule, our will. He might make us wait 12 years. And then give us the answer. Know what that woman could say? She got back to her home. Maybe her neighbors saw her, and I'm sure she looked different. I'm sure she had a big smile on her face. I'm sure she might have been jumping up and down the street a little bit. And her neighbor, what happened to you? She didn't say, oh, that medicine finally worked. Oh, that doctor finally, oh, eating all the organic food really paid off. You know, I had some kale this morning, and I'm feeling good. What's that? Kombucha. I had my kombucha, I'm good. No, she said, I met Jesus. After 12 years of trying everything, no one else can get the glory besides Jesus. How long did the Israelites suffer in slavery? How long did God make them wait? 400 years. You think the ones that were alive when Moses came are the only ones who prayed for a deliverer? Man, I wish I got to pick. But we don't get to pick when the answer comes. It might be right now. We might be a Jairus, and that's what I hope for. I pray, Jesus comes, I get the help I need. Or it might be, oh, you need to wait a while. And then God will get the glory. I just saw this verse when Brother Clifford was preaching. Amen. Brother Keister. Nice. I'm sure he's never heard that his whole life. Amen. Philippians chapter 1, verse 15. Paul's dealing with an issue here. He said, you know, there's strife. Some are preaching Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely. So he's dealing, we're not going to get into the details of the story, but he's got problems. Some people aren't preaching the gospel the way it should be preached. What does he say in verse number 19? For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through what? Through your prayer. Through your prayer. And there's time after, I just saw that one the other day. Time after time after time after time. The answer is prayer. Because the answer is Christ. And we get a hold of Christ when we get on our knees and spend some time in prayer. Amen. Pastor, would you like to come and close out the service?
Can't explain it. Can't. But like you said, the answer is always the same. Where do I go with my problems? Day one or year 12? Christ. That's where I take them. Let's all stand. We'll be dismissed.